Hallelujah. Are you alive? You're alive. Shout a big amen. So I know that you are here and you are alive. Everybody, if you are outside, come in, settle down as we get ready to receive God's word that is coming mightily to us this morning. Amen. Is it not very powerful? Sit down for a moment. Okay. Beautiful. We are very blessed this morning. Or is it afternoon? Today. To have a special man of God, specially sent by God to be a special blessing to us. What a blessing. I thought you'd be clapping and shouting by this time because it's very special for you. Very special that God has prepared for you. What a shock. Right. Beautiful. Nice. Beautiful. We just finished the Spirit Entered Into Me conference, which I am sure you attended. I didn't see you, but I just pray that you were there and you didn't miss it all. I think I want people to sit down if you don't have to be up, and not all ushers should be standing. Ushers should be sitting, and yes, this way. And those who are outside walking around anywhere should come in. And was a very, very powerful conference, the Spirit Entered Into Me conference. I was there, so the Spirit has entered into me as I'm standing here. Ask your neighbor, has any spirit entered into you? Where were you during the conference? You have to be there for the Spirit to enter into you. And we have our board members, that is our daddy's friends and partners, who also visit and they come for the conference. They travel far to come for the conference every year. And through our daddy, they become a blessing to us. And that's why we have a very international visitor with us today to minister to us. I've known him for many years. I don't remember when, but from Durban, I believe. You are coming to Durban and meeting also in Korea to refresh ourselves in the ministry. You'll be meeting people in Korea very soon. Yes. Although I'm not sure I'm going back there. And it's been a good friend to us. We flew. I'm surprised you have never come here. You didn't even come to the other side. I'm very surprised. But my sins are forgiven, and you too, your sins are forgiven. We flew well. We relate very well, and he's a very, very nice person. One of the good friends I'll meet in South Africa, based in Cape Town. Next time you are in Cape Town, next time you are in South Africa, ask, where is Cape Town? Then you go to Cape Town and you go and visit his church. When you land in South Africa, you have to sit in another plane. It's the same country, but it's another country to fly there. If you want to drive, I'm sure it's like 12 hours or something like that to drive there. And he's very anointed. He's a founder of a church, pastoring, building, you know, the people who flow with our prophet, they have the building anointing. And they are all building branches, preaching, evangelism. That's what he is into. And that's why I know that his visit will be of special impact to you this morning as you are here. When you get to Cape Town, you should look for Breakthrough Ministries International. Did you hear the name? You won't write it down. So that when you are in Cape Town, Mary Anderson, right? When you are in Cape Town, I'm looking for Breakthrough Ministries International. Yes. And when you get there, mention my name. And it will be well with you. Yes. So, Pastor Chris has started this church and pastored it and grown it. He has built a nice auditorium like this. He's building his office block like what we have over here. And it's not, you see, in over here, maybe you see buildings very easily. So you think that once there's a church, there's a building. But it's not like that. In South Africa, people have tents. They do church in tents, big tent, then they set it. And it's like a church building. Yes. Very good. But now it is real permanent church buildings that they are building. And it's a rare thing. It's not common. And these are some of the rare people who are doing uncommon things in South Africa. Beautiful. In 2017 In 2017, he hosted a Give Thyself Holy Conference in South Africa. He hosted Bishop Dagwood Mills and the team, and I was privileged to be there in that conference. I think that's been the last conference in South Africa. And he's very good friend to our daddy, and good friend to the ministry, flowing board member of Healing Jesus. And I think that he's here with the spirit of the house to be a blessing to the children of the house. He's not a stranger. You think he's a stranger because you haven't met him before. For us, he's not a stranger. He's just one of us. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stand as we welcome Pastor Chris Ross all the way from Cape Town, South Africa. I thought you were putting your hands together. I thought you were welcoming. All right. Come on, clap and give a hand of praise to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated on top of your enemies. Well, it is indeed a great honor and a privilege to be with you wonderful people here at this beautiful church. I am so thrilled to be here. It is a great learning curve for me as I come from Cape Town to be here and to see the great works and the great buildings and the church. And I want to tell you that you are privileged to be part of this great church. If anybody ever thought that you are here doing the pastor a favor or doing God a favor, you make a great mistake. It is a great honor and privilege for you to sit on the chair that you are sitting on today. Hallelujah. If ever you should leave that chair, God forbid, you will be replaced by another that is worthier than you. So we admire and we follow what your bishop and our great papa, Bishop Dag, is doing across the world. You have become like the mark, the beacon of light for all the churches. This is an uncommon move of God that will be recorded in the books of history until eternity. I want to honor Bishop Dagwood Mills for this great opportunity that I can stand here today and be part of what he has been doing by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Then I want to thank Bishop Steve. I met him in Korea. I'm sure we met before in Durban, but it was in Korea in 2011 when I really started to become friends with him, because they had added me to his group that had to do some research on the home cells in Korea. Bishop Sam, Bishop Steve, and Pastor Chris. We were the three traveling around in Korea. And I remember a funny moment when we were asked to sit down. Now in Korea, they don't sit at tables. They sit on the floor. And they are very flexible, the Koreans, because they're used to sitting on the floor with a very flat table. So they asked us to join them to sit on the floor and to cross our legs. It was the most difficult thing. It was the most difficult thing for us to do. I remember Bishop Sam really struggled. Oh, but it was precious moments and precious times, and I grew to love your bishop. He's a great man of God, a wonderful son of our Father. And I honor him. I saw on Facebook it was the First Lady's birthday. So I'm also blessed to be here at this time. Wow. But she is very deceptive. I can't believe the age, because she does not look that age. She looks 50 years younger. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. I bring greetings from my church in Cape Town. Since I met Bishop, we've been blessed to plant more works. So we have a branch in Johannesburg, East London, and then in Upington, besides the Cape Town branches. So if you're in one of those cities in South Africa, please make contact with us and we will to connect with you. Amen. But Cape Town, I've asked the gentleman to show you a few pictures of Cape Town, so that you can see what it looks like there, all right? Yes. Yes, it's very beautiful. It's known as the most beautiful city in the world. Yes, it is. You can show another picture. I'm sure they are beautiful pictures. So if your bishop invites you to come, then that is where you will be coming. Say, I'll be there. Beautiful. It is my intention to invite Bishop Steve to come to do a conference for us. And I'm sure he will choose a few of you to join him. I don't know who will be those that will be privileged to be chosen. I've had Bishop Eddie with us, Bishop Saki, Bishop Agu. I've had so many of the bishops. But I think next time it's the turn of your bishop to join us in Cape Town. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I bring greetings from my wife. Can you put the picture of my family on so that I can tell them? There you go. Now, my wife is this lady on the far side. Yes, she's young. I look well after my wife. And she's well behaved. Oh, well behaved. The Bible says, train up a wife in the way she must go. And when she is old, she will not depart from it. Amen. This is my son. He is in the United States. He's studying there. He's a good golfer. And it's my daughter and my son-in-law. Yes, they just got married. My son, my daughter got married to this wonderful son-in-law. He's a very good man. He only has one problem, but I had to accept it. He's a Manchester United fan. And the whole family is Liverpool. It was very hard to accept him, but I had to forgive him. But now I enjoy teasing him because his team is always losing. Oh, let me jump into the Word of God. I don't have too much time. Do you know, by God's grace, I wear many hats. I do evangelism with some small crusades to reach people. I pastor churches, and then I teach. I also believe that I can teach by God's grace. So this morning, I just asked the Holy Spirit, what should I do when I come here? And I feel I'm going to teach and give you a good teaching on some experiences I just recently had. Are you willing to hear my experiences? Yes. And as I came to Ghana, I realized that the devil that I fought in Cape Town has not yet come here. But I'm preparing you so that if he comes, you'll be ready to fight him. Amen. The specific devil that has fought us and made some huge destruction, I am sure that you'll be ready as a soldier. If you have Bibles, please, Numbers chapter 16 from verse 41. And then also I'm going to read in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. Numbers chapter 16 from verse 41. I'm reading from the NLT. It's the New Living Translation. Because it is easy to understand. What did I say? Numbers 41, right? Numbers 16 verse 41. If you have it, say amen. All right. But the very next morning, the whole community of Israel began muttering again against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the Lord's people." As the community gathered to protest against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tabernacle and saw that the cloud had covered it, and the glorious presence of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came and stood in front of the tabernacle, and the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from all those people so that I can instantly destroy them." But Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. And Moses said to Aaron, "Quick, take an incense burner and place burning coals on it from the altar. Lay incense on it and carry it out among the people to purify them and to make them right with the Lord. The Lord's anger is blazing against them. The plague has already begun." Aaron did as Moses told him and ran out among the people. The plague had already begun to strike down the people, but Aaron burned the incense and purified the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. But 14,700 people died in that plague, in addition to those who had died in the affair involving Korah. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. I want to use for a subject this morning, the plague has stopped. Amen. The plague has stopped. In the text that I just read to you, we started in verse 41 by saying the very next morning. Now it is important to know, and I don't have the time to read it. It's a very powerful chapter, Numbers chapter 16, which speaks to us about the rebellion of Korah. I'm sure you have heard this wonderful story before, how Korah and some other rebels, Urangus, came up against Moses and felt that God was also using them and not only Moses. They caused a great revolt in Israel. Are you listening to me? Because Moses was traveling with his team through the wilderness to Canaan's fair land. And on the journey, this evil happened. And the Lord grew angry with this rebellion and told Moses he was going to kill these people. But Moses, like a good pastor, he said, Lord, have mercy on them. Give them another chance. And then the Lord did something that is not recorded anywhere else. The whole ground opened up, swallowed Korah and the rebellious people, and the ground closed again, and they were gone. Now in our text, the next morning, after such a gruesome event, some of the other brothers, they come again, and they challenge Moses and said, what happened yesterday was your fault. People don't learn from history. They had just seen the devastating hand of God. They have just witnessed the punishment of God. And they come again in all their stupidity to challenge the man of God again. And say, you are the problem. Moses again pleaded with God. But God said, let me destroy them. But this time, it wasn't the ground that opened up. A plague was sent among the people. And the plague started killing them. And Moses told the high priest Aaron, take a censer, which symbolizes prayer. Put coals in there. Run. Burn it. Because the plague has already begun. And the Bible says, the text that I read, as he ran and he shook the censer, standing between the living and the dead, the Lord in his great mercy halted the plague. I want to talk about how the pandemic has affected the whole world. And when I looked into this thing, I looked for where the plagues are. But I was caught unawares that an evil spirit, or many evil spirits, has accompanied this great pandemic. I was asleep, and I'm teaching you this so that you don't make the same mistake that I made. The pandemic did not just come as a scientific problem or a disease problem. It came with another spirit. And this is what I want to speak to you about for a few minutes. The spirit of confusion. You might not have experienced it here in Accra, but where we are in South Africa, we up to date have 90,000 deaths of coronavirus. I think in Ghana, Bishop Dare gave us a stat of very few deaths, over 1,000. We had 90,000 deaths. Yeah. We had people so confused, the spirit was operating in my church members. Yeah. And they were hearing foreign voices from all over and different places. And the moment I woke up or realized that there's a spirit of confusion amongst the people, it had already infiltrated the ranks. And many people did not die physically, but they died spiritually. How many of you know when the Bible talks about death, often it's not that always that you will die physically, but you will die spiritually. I want to, before I continue, turn your attention to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous. Can you put it in the NLT? Do you have NLT? Yes. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. Hallelujah. Put the next 19. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. And then the last verse 20. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your bishop made me aware that you are honoring the prophet and the bishop because it's Galatians 6:6. Amen. And if you read the book on those who honor, you will see there's a chapter that's very important that says, honor a person by the words that he speaks. You can honor by the words. Solomon is telling his son to listen to his words because he will have life for his body. Praise the Lord. There are many voices speaking to us all the time, but it is Solomon and the pastor saying, listen to my words. My words will guide you on the right path, and my words will give life to your bones. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, this spirit of confusion, it comes when there's rebellion. I hope you're not a rebel. Ask your neighbor, are you a rebel? Because there are many rebels in the Bible. Hallelujah. And the plague that we have, that we encountered, was the plague of confusion. Everybody say confusion. Now you ask yourself, was God angry? We don't know. I really don't know what happened and why this plague had come, but it has caused great confusion. And the only thing that can really save, that can really help you today if you are in a state of confusion, is the prayer of the high priest. Hallelujah. Now they started conspiracy theories. And I told you I was sleeping when all this nonsense happened. But I lost so many members because of the plague. And I looked back into the Bible for the first conspiracy, and I saw it was when Jesus was risen from the dead. They made a conspiracy and said, no, he's not risen. The disciples stole his body. And that story still goes on in Israel up till today. Wow. Conspiracy. Say conspiracy. Now they started then to speak things about, is this thing real or is it not real? Is the vaccine real or is it not real? And it's something small, but it has devastating effects. Pastors in my church then had been listening to foreign voices, not the voice of the shepherd. And that's what I want to hit home to all of you today. If you don't listen to the voice of your shepherd, the spirit of confusion will grip you, and it will be the start of the end of your life, your spiritual life. Don't take it lightly. Don't think that we are dealing with an enemy that does not know how to do warfare. We are in a fight. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seek him whom he may devour. And all he needs to do is put a little doubt in your mind. And then the doubt starts to build. And at the end of the day, you are so far-fetched. By the time your bishop discovers your problem, the plague has already eaten you up. And it's too late for you. You'll be one of the 14,700 that has already passed in the plague. Today the Bible is very clear. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. God is not the author of confusion. Hallelujah. But he's the God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 5 says, cast down the stupid imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Another verse I want to just share with you. I'm just giving you these verses. God has, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you, the child of God, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Your mind is, when the Holy Spirit comes, if the Spirit enters you, there will not be darkness, but there will be a sound mind. And as I'm preaching to you this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, many of you might not have encountered my experience, but you are confused in some area of your life. And that is why this word is coming to you today, to deliver you from any area of confusion that you might be experiencing. Whether it's in the area of your relationship, in the area of your family, in the area of your job, in the area of your finances, you don't know which way to go. God is the God of peace, and He's the God that will give you clear direction. Because Proverbs clearly says that we don't walk in darkness, we walk in the light of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, to understand this demon, you must realize it's the most devastating enemy of truth and of human achievement. It cripples the most brilliant people. That's why you'll even see the controversy includes doctors, lawyers, pastors, professors, because it's a spirit. It attacks even the most brilliant people. Well-known pastors, well-known prophets, there's a whole confusion that has entered, and people are dying by the numbers. In Cape Town, we've had pastors die by the thousands. Yeah, or let's say in South Africa. In Cape Town, more than 100. Pastors that have stood on platforms and that have spoken words that had caused their own death. Because the deaths were so severe. It's not just the pastor who dies. His wife dies 2 days after him. And many churches had to close down, because the evil had entered and the confusion had entered. Because although help had come, people did not know what to do, which way to go. Why? Because a spirit of confusion had entered the church. And it's still in the church, in the West and in South Africa. By God's grace, I don't know if you have experienced this problem here in Ghana. But to understand confusion is the first step to overcome it. And you will overcome confusion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because understanding brings light, and then the light will cast out all the darkness. Light is much stronger than darkness. Amen. The dictionary defines confusion. It says to make mentally uncertain. Should I do it? Should I not? To jumble. But for us as the children of God, we know that confusion is a spiritual and a mental stronghold. Very dangerous stronghold. And it can, the spiritual stronghold, the root of this problem is spiritual. It's a real living enemy that has a mind of its own, and the strategy that it is using against the children of God. Now you might say, Pastor, what are you talking about? All backsliding, all orangulism has some form of a spirit of confusion involved in it. Are you hearing me? Because there's no more clarity. There's a walking in the darkness. And if you walk in darkness, you can't see the obstacles in front of you. You start to fall and you start to fumble. But the solution to that, walking in the darkness, is to get light. Hallelujah. You must get two things, light and truth. And I've got news for you. Jesus Christ is described as the light of the world. Jesus Christ is described as the truth. The Bible says, I am the way. Jesus Christ declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. Then the Bible makes it clear to us, you shall know the truth, and what the truth shall set you free from the spirit. Now, how shall we know the truth? Jesus is the truth. You need to find Jesus and you will find the truth. Glory to God. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. And I will show you now how people get confused if they wander far from Jesus. If they go away from the truth, they enter into darkness. And then they start falling. Yes. Hallelujah. So it's very important to see that confusion comes in because there are gateways for it to enter. I'm teaching, listen, the gate of entry is when a door is open. Now, Bishop was teaching us powerfully that the sinful nature has this thing that it will naturally go away from what is good. Now, if you say, why would someone leave a good church like Lighthouse Chapel International the way? Because of the fallen nature, Bishop was explaining to us that it's common for people to at least leave a church four times in their lifespan. So you come and you can't stay because your nature is that I can't stay long. I must keep moving on. So the teachings of loyalty and the teachings to make you stay is to fight against the fallen nature that is inside of you. Yes. And the spirit of confusion is added to you to make you say, no. They want me to stay because of this, because of that, because of this. I'm not a small child. I'm not a small person. Moses, does God use you only? What about us? When are we going to be seen? A spirit of evil and confusion has entered. But it needs a doorway. It needs to come in. I give you quickly some keys, then I close. Number one, how does it come in? Because this evil spirit, my friends, it won't leave you the first time. It will come again and again and again. Are you listening? 1 Kings 13 talks about Elisha dying and the King Joash coming to him. And he said, my father, you are dying. He says to him, listen, take an arrow and shoot it in the direction of the enemy. And he shot only 3 arrows. And the Bible says Elijah grew very angry with him, Elisha. And said, you should have shot 6 times. Because if you shoot 6 times, you will completely defeat this enemy. But now that you've only shot 3 times, that thing is coming back to haunt you. It's coming back to haunt you. Loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. Yes. You might say, Pastor, wow, I'll be with Pastor Bishop Steve. I've been here for many years. I don't have an intention to leave. You are joking with the enemy. Loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. You should have shot the arrow 6 times, but you shot it only 3. So that enemy will come for you again. I pastored, led young boys to the Lord. They served in my ministry for years. I gave them their first shirt, their first suit. I taught them how to play instrument. I even gave them their first wives. You would never think that these people would ever leave such a nice pastor like me. I mean, don't you think I'm a nice pastor? But you must not joke with the evil spirit. You see, there's certain protections you need, and I'll do it now as I close. Otherwise, that spirit will come for you. Yes. You'll be surprised. The bishop one day will say, I never thought that sister would leave me and would speak bad about this thing. Because a spirit of confusion has entered her mind. Because she has opened the door for the enemy to come in. Yes. As we grow in the ministry, we come to the place where we say nothing shocks us anymore. You know, the only person I can possibly trust is my wife. She can't leave me because I've made a pact with her till death us do part. Amen. For butter and for sausage, we will stay together forever. Hallelujah. But I want you to listen carefully. I'm rushing to a close. I want to give you the doors how this enemy enters. This enemy enters by disobedience to the truth that you know. Number one, disobedience to the truth you know. Bishop has been teaching you. The books of Bishop Dagg has been fed to you. And that is the truth you know. Once you start to wander from the truth you know, you see, then you open a door for the Spirit to enter. Because the fortress of truth is the antidote against confusion. You shall know the truth, John chapter 8 verse 32, and the truth shall set you free. Praise God. Matthew 16 verse 13 says, the truth of who Jesus is, the revelation of Jesus by the Father, that is the rock upon which we stand. That's the truth. He asked the disciples, now who do you think I am? Some said, oh, well, it looks like you're Elijah. Some said, no, you're Jeremiah. Some said, you're a good pastor and you're a good prophet. Then he turned to Peter and said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Knowledge of Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood could not have told you the truth. Must be from my Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Be it known to you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. Praise God. Listen, the enemy will make you think he's not taking you away from Christ. He's only taking you away from the church. Some idiot wrote a note on Facebook. That's another devil. And he said, after many people had left the church, he said, the people had left the church, they did not leave God. You see now, spirit of confusion is working. The people left the church, they did not leave God. And the enemy uses lies and deception so that you think you are on something good. A deception is greater than a lie. A lie we know is a lie. But a deception is something like this. You believe the lie. Are you with me? You think you really got something here. This you got something. That's a deception. And there are many deceivers in the world today. And how do you deceive someone? You don't tell lies that are too believable. You tell lies that's close to the truth. Like when Satan came to Eve, he said, did God really say you mustn't eat from the tree? That's the truth. God said, don't eat from the tree because you will know good and evil. The truth. Then he adds a little lie to it. He said, but you won't die. So he mixed what? The truth and the lie. Yeah. So deceivers, they always tell you a truth that sounds correct. Then they also tell you, sometimes they speak the truth. Careful now. They speak the truth. So you are confused. What is the lie and what is the truth? And then thirdly, they mix the three together. They mix it. So you think you're following a good lady who's telling you about bad things in the church. But it's a deceiver. It's a spirit of confusion. It has entered. And you're groping in darkness. You don't know which way to go. So every time you are disobedient to the teachings that you have received, be it known to you that the spirit of confusion has gripped you and you're on your way out and you're on your way down and you're on your way to destruction. Yes. The only fortress we have as a rock against confusion is the revelation of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Because he's above all rule, all authority and dominion, and he has prevailed over sin and the devil.
And to the degree that you abide in him and keep your faith in him, you will prevail. Amen. The second door is sin and unrighteousness. The first one is when you disobey the truth that you have come to know. Now, sin and unrighteousness, I find this common in my church, that people, they want to cause a distraction to their own sin and their own unrighteousness. So they point a finger at the problem in the church. Are you hearing me? But after a while, when I go deep into their stories, I realize this brother has been living in sin. This sister has been living in sin. Now she has highlighted a problem in the church, but the problem is not really in the church. You are causing a deviation. Why don't we open the books and look deep into your life? You're living a life of sin and unrighteousness. And instead of coming to repent and kneeling at the altar, you're trying to point to the pastor's problem. You're trying to point to the choir problem. You're trying to point to the music problem. Your life is a life of sin and unrighteousness. It's my experience. Once I start to dig into Orangu's reasons, I see there's no good reason. The door that was open is sin and unrighteousness. I'm preaching to you because Bishop said the nature of sin is the same in Cape Town that it is here in Ghana. And as beautiful as you look with your red scarves and your white shirts, you can't tell me you are angels. Because we have the Adamic nature, the nature of fallen man, the nature of fallen man. We can't stay long. We want to keep moving on. And we use excuses. But the problem is with you. The problem is with you. And you lead other people into confusion by your clever talks and your sayings. It's an evil spirit that has gripped the whole group of you, like it gripped the people in the days of Moses. Hallelujah. Number three, I'm closing. Number three, what else brings this confusion amongst us? Complicated things of the devil versus the simplicity of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by its craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Yes, so the deception of the serpent puts doubt into your mind. And he says, did God really say? And when you start to question the clear directives of the bishop, the clear directives of your leader, be it known to you that this is another door for the spirit of confusion to enter your life. To enter your life and to destroy you. The ultimate plan of Satan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. And the devil has great successes in the Christian church. But from today, we are resisting that attack. We are resisting that entry point, and we're closing the gates to the spirit of confusion. You will overcome any confusion in your life, any confusion that is set to destroy your future, because you will stick close to the bastion of truth, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't question the directives of God. Once you start to do that, that's when the enemy has a door to enter. The bishop is giving instructions. The leaders are giving instructions. Don't question the directives. Receive it and become a good follower in Jesus' name. Amen. The fear of man is another one. I won't go into that. Pride is another one. Number four is the fear of man. Number five is pride. These are all doors for the spirit of confusion to enter. Number six is witchcraft. What witchcraft are you talking about, Pastor Chris? This is the witchcraft that you pretend to be someone that you are not. You have taken a position that God has not given you. And this is what happens in the churches. We now have pastors, apostles, people that are self-appointed, DIY pastors. And they pretend to be somebody that they are not. And they're causing a spirit of confusion to enter through their witchcraft. They think because they can put up a poster and smile with a nice blue suit on, it suddenly makes them a pastor. And the people are running away from this good setup to something small on the wayside, because we found something new. It's the spirit of witchcraft that opens a door to the spirit of confusion. And these churches, they don't normally last long. Please listen to me, people of the way. God has brought you to a wonderful place. A fresh running water, a river of fresh streaming water. Satan will not be satisfied for you to stay here. He's watching you like a roaring lion, seeking how he can devour you. Don't think that it's not what I'm saying. It is exactly what I'm saying. This is how the devil entered into my group and started to confuse the minds of people. I didn't even know how he entered, but I realize this now. He came with this pandemic of corona. But it wasn't that. It's got nothing to do. It's to take them away from the source of the fresh living waters. Jesus Christ, who is the river of life. Jesus Christ, who is the breath of life. Because you see, they start for a short while thinking they're onto something, because they're into witchcraft of some Hong Kong, Funky Kong pastor that was never ordained, never called by God. And at the end of, if you watch their lives, you will see they become nothing. They wither into nothingness. And later they won't even serve God anymore. Oh yes. I've seen it too many times. Pastors that used to serve communion, they're now coming from the Sabine with six-pack beers, going to have fun at their houses, because they lost God. They lost God and they lost their salvation because they joked with the spirit of confusion. Now let me close. How to fight the spirit? How to fight it? I'm giving you a teaching this morning. Hallelujah. What to do in the time of confusion? You say, Pastor, there's some things I'm not sure about. You must, the simple obedience to the Lord and living by His word is the ultimate way out of confusion. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the ultimate deliverance from confusion, you must live in the light of God. Amen. You must live in His light. Now the first thing you must pray for is pray for revelation from God. Every time before we started the Spirit Entered Me conference, Bishop said to us, pray for a revelation. Pray for God to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. Because to Peter, it was revealed who Jesus really was. I saw on your poster, it says, He came unto His own. Or the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. It's the theme of your church. That people, the light will be here, and you won't even know it if you're in darkness. Hallelujah. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. You need a revelation of who Jesus really is. Hallelujah. Because to as many as know Him, to as many as receive Him, to them He gives power to be called children of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And why is that important? Because if you fall in love with Jesus, let me tell you something powerful. If you fall in love with Jesus, you will never have a spirit of rebellion. You will never have a spirit that is not like the spirit of Christ. Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Hallelujah. You'll never have a spirit of arguing, fighting. No, no, no. If you find Christ, if you fall in love with Him, hallelujah, then His spirit will come on you. His nature will come on you. His nature of submission, His nature of love, His nature of walking in the obedience of His Father. That is why it is so important to find Christ, fall in love with Him. Jesus, our Savior. You must have a revelation of Jesus on the cross. When I was a young boy, God gave me a revelation of Jesus on the cross. I saw it in a vision. Every time I speak about it, then I used to speak about it and I used to cry. People never used to understand. But I saw Him hanging on the cross. And I always say, when there's anything that comes against me to tell my mind to turn, I always go back to the vision I saw of Christ hanging on the cross for my sins. For my sins, for my sins. Hallelujah. He died for me. How can I desert Him? How can I turn my back on Him? He loved me so. And I love Him too. Why? Because He first loved me. Because He first loved me. Hallelujah. It's a revelation of Jesus. I think many people come to church and enjoy church, but they never had the revelation of Jesus. May God give you also a revelation to see Jesus Christ. If you see the look of love in His eyes, you can't desert Him. You can't turn your back on Him. Oh, may you see it. May you see it in the Spirit. May you see it. Hallelujah. So pray for a revelation of God. Number two, read the Word of God. Read it, read it, read it. Don't read Facebook. Don't read TikTok. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Just this morning, a church leader sent me a text. He said, "Oh, have you seen that the CEO of Pfizer was taken to prison because he did not tell the people there was poison in the vaccines?" This thing is big where I come from. Then I checked. I said, "Oh, it's a big bishop in Cape Town. He's spreading the stories." It's confusion. It's a spirit. It's over the people. We're supposed to have 70% herd immunity for our country to be safe. We are now on 21%. And it's not growing at all. Do you know what has entered? An evil spirit to cause the deaths of more multiple thousands of people. And the pastors are leading the front way. Say, "Don't believe in this. Believe in God." Then they die, husband and wife, 3 days apart. I tell you, when the devil comes, he doesn't play with you. He kills you. You think you got something good, but you deceived, you see. You got a lie. But the results will show you were believing a lie all the time. Yes. And the sad thing about this result, you hardly get people like the prodigal son who will come back and say, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. I'm eating with the pigs." The pride of people will keep them away from ever returning. You see, may the Lord have mercy on you. Stop reading rubbish. Forgive my English. Read the Word of God. Yes. The third key to resist this evil is to listen to the right voice. Listen to your pastor's voice, because it is the voice that has been leading you. I don't know how long you are in this church. Tell your neighbor, "I'm 10 years, 4 years. I don't know how long you are here." But listen carefully. The voice of your bishop has led you up till now. Now there's going to come a crisis here. If it's not this pandemic, then there might be a future crisis, because crises are normal. It is in that time of confusion, you must listen to your bishop's voice, because it is the voice you know. Are you listening to me? Now, the multimedia today has made us all have access to all pastors over the world. Isn't that true? You can just put your phone on, you can see what they're preaching in Nigeria, in America. But the secret for you, young boys and girls, listen to your shepherd's voice. Listen to your shepherd's voice. Don't follow what you see on social media. He has been leading you all the time. Bishop even made that statement. Bishop said, "God has been walking with Adam and Eve 4 o'clock every day. And a serpent comes, a voice they've never heard.
and they believed the voice and they lost everything. When you are not sure of anything, please go and listen to your shepherd's voice. Listen to your shepherd's voice. I told my people as I close, I said, I've been speaking to you all this time. All the years I've guided you. Now there's a crisis. You listen to some other voice. Oh, pastor, but it's also a pastor. I said, I know it's a pastor. I know he has a big following. But who's your shepherd? Where are you drinking milk from? I've guided you up till now. Why now suddenly you're listening to a foreign voice? The voice of your shepherd will make all the difference. Hallelujah. He will lead you to the quiet waters. And he will take you to the green pastures. And the last key, the four keys to fight the spirit of confusion, is you must get a revelation through your prayer life. Then you must read the word of God. And then, as I just told you now, very important, you must hear your shepherd's voice. But the last one is to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You see, listen to me. There's going to be times of confusion in all of your lives. Sometimes you meet a man, you're not even sure. Is this the man I should spend the rest of my life with? Or you must make a decision concerning something, but you're not sure. I want to tell you, a great father once told me, Pastor Chris, never make a decision in the time of your discouragement. Never make a decision. Wait upon the Lord. Wait a little. Don't just make a rash decision. Oh, this is happening. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. You make a big mistake. Wait upon the Lord. If you think the church has not treated you well, don't go. Don't run anywhere. Just wait. You will renew your strength. You will rise up with wings of eagles. You shall walk and you won't grow weary. You shall run, you won't faint. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. I want to pray for somebody here this morning as I close. Maybe there's an area in your life that you're confused about. I don't know what it is. And I believe the Spirit has allowed me to speak to somebody here today. Because this thing is something very evil. It can come very innocently. But at the end, it's there to take you far away from God. But the Lord is going to deliver you this morning from a spirit of confusion. The Lord is going to deliver you. Because Moses told the Aaron, run! Run! Shake the censer! Shake the censer! The people are dying! Because an evil plague has entered. And as Aaron shook the censer, the Bible says, the plague, it stopped. The plague, it stopped. The plague, it stopped. Maybe there's a plague in your life this afternoon. I don't know what it is. I don't know you. I come from very far. But God knows you. The Holy Spirit knows you. Maybe the confusion that you have in your mind concerning whatever it is the enemy's plan to destroy you. But today, stand just there, my brother. I want you to bow your heads. Everybody, bow your heads. At the same time, I want to ask you, maybe somebody invited you to come to this church this morning, or you've been coming, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're confused. You are hindering on two thoughts. Should I go or should I stay? God is not the author of confusion, but is the author of peace. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. If there's somebody like that, you say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. I want to give Jesus the lordship of my life. I want to really follow Jesus. I want you to put up your right hand. I will pray for you. Is there someone like that? And I want the people in confusion. There's a lady here that must make a big decision and she's not sure what it is. But today, I want to pray for you that God will give you light and you will not stumble in the darkness anymore. Hallelujah. You will read the Bible. You will pray for revelation. You will hear the voice of your shepherd.
and you will wait. Don't do what you wanted to do to this specific person. Don't do that thing you wanted to do. The Lord is saying to you, wait a little bit. God has an answer for you. I want you to come out forward so I can pray for those who need direction in a specific area. I'm not going to ask. It's going to be quick. My time is up. I just want to pray for you. I want to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has told me. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, come to the front. Come stand here with me. Come stand here with me. I will pray for you. Come stand. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, come stand right here with me. Jesus is coming into your life as the Lord and the Savior of your life. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Clap for them as they come.
Give him your life today. Hallelujah. Just come on to Jesus. Oh, let him have his way.
The enemy is using covert operation to take people away. And then eventually it becomes sad for you as the father and the pastor to see people that you've led for so many years being taken by the whirlwind of confusion and they are gone. No, God wants you to walk in the light, no darkness. You are not going to stumble. You will see clearly the direction that you must go. Amen. You will see clearly. God has a great future for you right here in the Lighthouse Chapel International, the Way Cathedral. If I leave and 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the line, you are confused, remember the day this Cape Town man stood on this platform. And I warn you, the spirit of confusion is the spirit of Satan. God is not the author. God is not the author. Don't ever make a decision in the state of your confusion. I want to pray for you. I know you are two different categories here, but I want to pray first for those who want to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9 and 10, if you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. I'm going to help you to confess, but you must believe for yourself in your own heart. Jesus is going to come into your life and you become a brand new person. Everybody standing here, repeat after me, and somebody on the mic can also help them. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am.
As I am.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
Lord, I'm sorry for my sins.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
With your precious blood.
With your precious blood.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
Please write my name.
Please write my name
in the book of life.
In the book of life.
From today.
From today.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
From today.
From today.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve you.
Save me.
Save me.
From a spirit of confusion.
From the spirit of confusion.
Save me from that spirit.
Save me from that spirit.
That will lead to my death.
That will lead to my death.
My premature death.
My premature death.
I want to follow you, Jesus.
I want to follow you, Jesus.
I want to serve you.
I want to serve.
I turn my back on Satan.
I turn my back on Satan.
And I follow you from this day.
And I follow you
forward. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Clap for the Lord for the decisions for Jesus Christ.